Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes, and now we're going to have our New Testament reading from Mark 13, verse 24. And Pauline is going to say this for us. Thank you.
Okay. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard. Be alert. You do not know what that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house in charge of his servants, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, I mean, Ian's going to now come and preach to us, which is always a wonderful thing. I just want to pray for Ian as he steps up. Lord, may Ian be your mouthpiece to us today. And as we hear your voice, may our hearts be gladdened. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. That's great. Okay. So I've put together a little slideshow, and I'm hoping Tim's going to just put that up on the screen and share the screen for you all. And of course, today is, as many of you will know, Advent Sunday. So here we go, little slideshow. So The Advent basically is the four Sundays before Christmas Day, leading up to Christmas Day. And Advent Sunday today is the start of the church year. Every organization has a slightly different sort of beginning to their year. The financial one, obviously, we know is April and so on. Advent Sunday is the start, the renewal of the church year. What does Advent mean? Well, the word is the Latin for coming or arrival. And of course, as it's the season leading up to Christmas, preparing for Christmas, expecting the coming of Jesus, the color purple or violet is the color we use, actually both for Advent and for Lent, because both of them are sort of seasons of preparation for a big festival. And of course, Advent also has a sort of double meaning. We think about Jesus' first coming in the first century at Bethlehem as a baby. And of course, the Jews were waiting, longing for the Messiah, or in Greek, the Christ. And Jesus came as God's savior, God's rescuer. We heard in Isaiah, how then can we be saved? Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down to save us, Lord. So Jesus' first coming is the sort of, if you like, the most obvious meaning of Advent, preparing for Christmas. But there's that second meaning as well, which you probably heard in some of our songs as well, that we are also thinking about Jesus' second coming at the end of time. As our New Testament reading said, he will gather his elect from the four winds, but no one knows the day or the hour. Jesus' second coming will be at the end of time, and it will be everywhere. Every eye shall see him. And he will come not as the savior announcing salvation, God's kingdom, but he will come as the sovereign Lord and the judge of all. So that second meaning of Advent is perhaps a little darker, isn't it, for many people. But for us, his elect, of course, it's a thing to look for and to welcome and to actually look forward to. In medieval times, and probably still in sort of more Catholic churches, there were four traditional themes for Advent: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And you can hear the somber notes in those, can't you? Death, of course, was about the separation of body and soul, until, of course, the resurrection, when body and soul are united again. Judgment, well, after death comes judgment by Christ himself. And those who go to heaven will have eternal happiness in God's presence, and those for hell will have eternal torment and despair from their rejection of God. And of course, in medieval times, people were much more aware of their mortality, and so people would need to prepare to meet their maker. And so they would think on these things through Advent as they were thinking about the coming of eternity. In the Church of England these days, we tend to go for, actually just the one before that, Tim, if you would, the set readings. That's lovely. So in the Church of England's sort of order of readings, we actually go through a sort of three-year cycle, A, B, C, and we look for readings from Matthew and then from Mark and then from Luke. So we're just beginning this year, this coming year, for the Gospel of Mark. And the first Sunday in Advent, we think about the patriarchs, Abraham, Moses, and David, and so on, and all the Old Testament longings for Jesus and the sort of images of God's kingdom coming through the patriarchs. And then the second Sunday of Advent, it's the prophets. So we focus, obviously, a lot on Isaiah, because he prophesied a great deal about the coming of the Messiah. And the New Testament readings from the second Sunday are often John the Baptist quoting Isaiah's prophecy. And then the third Sunday of Advent looks at John the Baptist himself, his role as the herald of Jesus. And the fourth Sunday, the Virgin Mary, the Lord's servant, the mother of Jesus, welcoming the coming of the Messiah. And then, of course, Christmas Day is about the arrival of Christ himself. We obviously, we enjoy making Advent wreaths, and so that's the next one there. Thank you, Tim, that's lovely. And so we have a ring of evergreens symbolizing eternity, the ring that's unbroken, the evergreens that that don't change. And then candles that can be red or blue or purple around the ring. And the one for the third Sunday is what's called Gaudete Sunday, a bit of joy in the midst of a fairly somber season. And the white candle in the middle for Christmas Day itself. When you ask people what are the what do those candles stand for, what's the theme of those candles, then you look for the meaning on the internet. You'll often find hope, love, joy, and peace quoted as themes of those candles, and perhaps Bible quotes, Bible texts and verses. I will hope in the Lord. God is love. Shout for joy to the Lord. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and so on. And then, of course, the Christ candle for the light of the world. So you're getting the feeling there's lots of different themes in Advent. It's quite a rich season in terms of themes. In the 2020, this year, the Church of England is doing a sort of theme of comfort and joy in its advertising. So starting today, you'll find those words, that theme, all over the Church of England's website. And indeed, you can sign up for emails from churchofengland.org. And indeed, you can find an app on your smartphone or your tablet. You can gain an extra skill on your smart speaker or whatever it is that you need for Google Home and so on. So you can get reflections each week during Advent and each day following Christmas from the Church of England. In our own parishes here in Aldham and Mark's Tay, today, of course, 29th of November, we've got our combined service at the moment. Usually, in a normal year, this would be a parade service in St Andrew's for uniform groups, but sadly they're not gathering together at the moment. The reason for that, for the parade service, is that 30th of November is our patronal festival, St Andrew's Day, St Andrew the Apostle. But from the 2nd of December, we're allowed again to meet together for worship. And so next Sunday, we're hoping to have a 9:15 service in Aldham and an 11 o'clock service here at St Andrew's. 13th of December, I'm going to be running around, 9:15 at Aldham, 10 o'clock in Great Tay, and 11 o'clock here. So I shall probably see you in passing at a dash. And I'm hoping we can have a communion in Aldham Church in particular, and I shall be doing one at Great Tay as well. And then the fourth Sunday is the Sunday just before Christmas, so we'll have carol services, 11 o'clock here in Mark's Tay, probably out in the churchyard so we can join in with the singing, and then 4 o'clock in Aldham, probably again out in the churchyard so that we can sing. And then we're trying to work out at the moment if we can run a crib service and a midnight service and then Christmas Day services as we usually do. But we're going to have to think about the precautions we need to take for those things. So just to finish, what are the lessons to learn from Advent? What are the themes that we need to be thinking about? And I'm sure you heard from the readings that we should be keeping watch, be on your guard, be alert. Jesus' parables about the kingdom, his main message always was, be on your guard and keep watch. So what can we do? Well, I think we can take time through Advent to reflect. A little bit like Lent, just a little bit of time with God, a time to strengthen our faith. You may well have Advent calendars or Advent candles counting the days down to the 25th of December. Because we know, don't we, what day Christmas is. We know exactly when the coming of Christmas will be. It's a bit like perhaps an alarm clock or a timer or a pinger. There's a set time and it's counting down and you know when it'll be. So you can prepare your heart for Christ at Christmas. But then there's that secondary meaning as well, isn't there? What would you do if it was announced on the news, Jesus is coming tomorrow? It's going to happen tomorrow. How would you live your life? How would you live each day if you knew it was going to be your last day? The preachers in old times sometimes used to challenge people like that. The correct answer, top of the class, is I would live exactly the same as I am at the moment, because that is the way that we should be living. Some of the things in our world, we don't know when it's going to happen. When will a vaccine arrive? As Keith said earlier, we give grateful thanks. We're hearing in the news that they're coming. When will they arrive? When will safety come again, if you like? When will COVID end? Will it ever end? Or will there be a day when we can gather together and hug each other and sing together and all of that? There are some people in our world who live like that, waiting for the emergency, the paramedics, the police, the firefighters, the RNLI in their lifeboats. They're sort of on tenterhooks all the time for the pager to go off, for the siren to sound. And it's a little bit like that with the second coming of Jesus. We don't know when. Jesus said in his earthly life, even he didn't know when it would be. Only the Father knew. So how then should we live? Well, we should tell people about Jesus. We should live for God's kingdom. We should live with that sense that if Christ were to come tomorrow, we would have kept watch. We would be ready. We would be alert. Let's just pray just to close. Almighty God, as your kingdom dawns, turn us from the darkness of sin to the light of holiness, that we may be ready to meet you in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.